So how much money do you need in order to live the life you want? That's the question at the heart of Lee Eisenberg's new book, The Number, A Completely Different Way to Think About the Rest of Your Life. Lee Eisenberg is the former editor-in-chief of Esquire, and his work has appeared in Money and Fortune. His books include Breaking 80, A Journey Through the Nine Fairways of Hell. He joins us from CBS Studios in New York City. Lee Eisenberg, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
Lee, your new book is The Number. What is The Number?
Well, The Number, in its simplest terms, is how much money do you need to get through the rest of your life and still feel secure financially as well as emotionally?
I would guess initially that there isn't a single number for every person.
Well, obviously there isn't. First of all, the book, I think it's important to understand that this is not an advice book. This doesn't say, you know, go off and do these 10 things and you will have a big fat number. And I don't think anybody should ever confuse me with Susie Orman. I'm not nearly as perky, and anyone who knows me knows that I don't look particularly good with blonde highlights in my hair. That's not the kind of book this is. In fact, almost to the contrary, this is a book that really explores, I hope, in lively detail, why so many of us don't take financial advice, why we go through life decades, often for our entire life, either being in denial about how much we might need, certainly being stubborn about planning, largely avoiding the issue. And what makes this, you know, so timely and why I wrote the book is that there are 76 million baby boomers out there that had better start thinking not only about how much they need, but what they need it for.
Mm. And in fact, in the book, Lee, you write about four different types of numbers chasers. All P's here, procrastinators, pluckers, plotters, and probers. Can you give us a brief thumbnail sketch of each? So let's start with procrastinators.
Yeah, after talking to, you know, literally hundreds of people and dozens of financial advisors, I found that most of us fall into one of these four categories. By far the biggest are procrastinators, and I know this all too painfully well because I was one. I lived through decades that I now call the lost years. I saved a little, not much. I spent a lot more than I saved. And largely I tried to avoid the whole question. Survey after survey tells us that, you know, the vast majority of Americans, no matter how well educated, no matter how affluent, largely put off planning. The second group, the pluckers, a really interesting kind of breed. You find them a lot down on Wall Street. These are people who just pluck a number out of thin air. I need $1 million. I need $5 million. I need 10. You know, or if you're an investment banker, you need infinity. There's not a lot of thought that goes into it. It's pretty impulsive. And these are almost always people who, once they achieve that number, double it, and then have a number that's twice as big to go after.
Let me ask you about pluckers for a sec. There might be even a little plucker in me. I think that when we talk about the number, it's always nice to think of a big round number, and then I'm sure as we achieve it, if we ever do, we start thinking, well, that's probably not enough. I'm ambitious, right? So to the plucker in all of us, is there anything wrong with that? What are we missing by plucking?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, your number may be wildly wrong. Your number may be so large that, in fact, you may begin to get down on yourself for not ever having reached it, because there's no basis for it. And then the other thing that's wrong with it, which is also wrong with a couple of the other categories, is that these are people who tend not to think so much about what they're going to do with the number as about how big the number has to be. And as we've been told over and over again, size doesn't always matter.
Mm-hmm.
The third group I call plotters. Now, plotters are people who, and I'm sure some of your listeners are plotters, these are people who basically spend all their waking hours very conscientiously with online retirement calculators, with Excel spreadsheets. They're looking into every imaginable forward-looking projection, life expectancy, the rate of inflation, market returns, and all the rest. And, of course, in this age of the Internet, all of that stuff is available in profusion. And these are people, plotters, who are continuously working and reworking the numbers. They're very good at math. They've got strongly developed left sides of their brains. But they only leave one important variable out of all of these calculations, which is fun. How am I going to have some fun? It may be diverting to do all these calculations, but on the other hand, is that all that life is really about? And then the fourth category, probers, are almost the opposite numbers of plotters. These are people who are not comfortable with mathematics, who don't do a lot of calculations, who don't look at all those tables, and instead do something that's worthwhile, which is to try to explore their psyches and keep asking themselves what's really meaningful. You know, traveling to enlightening places or learning yoga or writing the great American novel. So I think almost everyone can place him or herself in those four. And I get asked all the time, well, if I could be only one of them, what should I be? And I guess I have to pull a punch. What I basically say is I think you need to be half a plotter, which means to say you really need to work the numbers and think hard about that. But you also need the prober, because even if you work the number out correctly, you may not necessarily have anything spiritually or satisfactorily to engage in. So it's I think you need to be both. Mm.
And Lee, in your research for the book and in your experience, how many people actually achieve not just the number but the satisfaction that goes with having achieved financial independence?
Well, I don't know that there's a definitive way to answer that question. I don't think because there's just so many variables. But what I can tell you is that as I spent 2 years writing this book and talking to a great many people and a great many financial advisors, I was really sort of flabbergasted at the degree to which people feel and probably are incompetent or illiterate about money. And yet, what's so ironic about that is that, you know, here we are living in what may arguably be the most materialistic, most consumption-driven culture and society in the history of the world. And yet most people, even educated ones, feel that they simply don't know even the basics about it, which is one of the reasons that so many of them go into denial or put off any real planning. Mm.
And financial literacy is certainly near and dear to the heart of the Motley Fool. What's the biggest misconception that people have about money?
I think the biggest misconception that they have is that it's something other than really what it is. I mean, what money really is a no more and no less than a tool. It is by far the most versatile tool that has ever been invented. You can use it for just about everything, and I don't mean just material things. And yet in our culture, we have never really explored very deeply the fact that money is exchangeable for a great many things, some of them spiritual. I went to a workshop once, and the opening act of the workshop was a very smart financial planner walking out onto a stage. And before he said a word, he ripped a $100 bill in half and let the two pieces just flutter to the floor. And there was a collective gasp from the audience. Why would somebody do this? And he went on to make the point that what I've just done is ripped up a piece of paper. It has no intrinsic value other than a piece of paper until you invest it with some intrinsic value. And I don't think too many of us think of it that way. We think of it in terms of plasma television sets and BMWs and second homes and golf clubs and all the rest. And we don't think about that it has a far greater range of uses. Mm.
The book is The Number, a completely different way to think about the rest of your life. Lee Eisenberg, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks.